time to tell me the truth, to burden your mouth for what you say, and pieces of paper in the way. Welcome to Between the Lines, a monthly magazine show on the third Thursday of every month at 2 p.m. We cover the arts, current affairs, popular culture, and everything else in between. I'm your host, Anne Forbes Cooper.
Can't continue pretending to choose these opposite sides on which we fall. Loving you later, as if at all. No right minds could wrong be this many times.
This month's Between the Lines highlights the efforts of those who give their own time to help others. This President's Weekend, February 18 and 19th, a benefit is taking place to help those impacted by Hurricane Irene at the Orpheum Performing Arts Centre in Hunter, New York. In an interview recorded earlier in the week, we are talking to the creative director of the Orpheum, Greg Dayton, who's also a guitarist who will be performing there. And we will also talk to Blues Hall of Famer and Grammy-nominated musician Professor Louie, who heads up the band The Chromatics. Later in the show, in that same vein of giving to help others, we talk to Mashan Taylor, an award-winning Japanese-American songwriter and singer, who has put together a virtual CD to help victims of Hurricane Irene. So stay tuned.
If I had a chance to do it all over again, I wouldn't do it better way.
I wouldn't do it better way.
I wouldn't do it better way.
Oh, no, no.
I wouldn't do it better way. I wouldn't do it better way.
I Wouldn't Do It That Way by Professor Louie and the Chromatics.
And my first guest is Greg Dayton, who's not only an acclaimed guitarist, but he's also the creative director of the Orpheum. How did all this concert come about? Whose idea was it?
The beginning for programming for the Orpheum came about through my interaction with the Friends of the Orpheum, which is they call themselves FOTO, F-O-T-O. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to raising money and donating money for programming to the Orpheum for a variety of things, for music, dance, etc. And we began to have conversations in late in the summer about for programming for the coming year, and they asked me if I could come on board to help find some shows for them, and that's sort of where it began. I immediately thought of Louie because I knew that he was in the Woodstock area, and I'd worked with him previously thought that it would be ideal that he get involved as well, and he's been a huge resource. And he came with, Louis and Marie came to the opening ceremony / fundraiser in the summer at the Orpheum, and we performed together there, and that's kind of where a lot of these conversations began.
I mean, you've really put together a fantastic lineup. How did you come up with such a rich and diverse list of performers? Because, of course, this, it starts off with Opera Night.
The Opera Night, we met with the folks from the Phoenicia International Festival for the Voice. They started this festival 2 years ago in Phoenicia in kind of a grassroots fashion, but it's been tremendously successful. We called them, the founders, to get together with them to show them the theater, and they were very excited about the space because acoustically it's just a wonderful place to perform. And for them, we thought that it may provide another outlet and venue so they could kind of expand their territory out of Phoenicia. December 10th, we had a holiday concert that was free to the public, that we had excerpts from a Nutcracker performance from the Academy of Dance and Creative Arts, which is out of Hunter. The founders sang excerpts from holiday music and from operas in the theater. It was one of our first real performances there, and they got to test the acoustics. They loved it. In terms of the blues, that's an area which I've been involved in for many, many years, and both in performing and teaching, and I thought that it would be a perfect fit for the area in terms of blues and rock and jam band. And this, so Louis said, well, every year we've been doing a concert in Woodstock the last 6 years with New Riders of Purple Sage. Why don't we do that? And that was a little before the New Year's. Russell Bear agent and manager, and they were excited about it, and we had a wonderful sold-out show with Louis opening and New Riders to cut, which was kind of our first full-fledged concert.
The Orpheum itself is quite new, isn't it?
It's brand new, yes, and they've been spent this, the Catskill Mountain Foundation and some other investors, including the Royce family, and some of the members of Friends of the Orpheum have been, numerous donations have been responsible for putting this facility up at the site of the old movie theater, where growing up, I remember seeing Star Wars there. It took about 5 years and a lot of money and labor of love to get it open, and it's modeled after the Joyce Theater in Manhattan. Has a wonderful acoustic, hugely intimate space to see a concert. There's not a bad seat in the house.
So now you're a longtime Hunter resident, right?
I actually have been summering up in Haines Falls and Twilight Park since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents had a house up there. They lived in Brooklyn, and then that house was passed on to my dad, and our family's been going up there since I was a young child.
How did you come to be artistic director?
Yeah, well, my official role is a creative advisor, I guess we're calling it, creative advisor to the Friends of the Orpheum, helping them to find programs that we then present to Catskill Mountain Foundation and collaborate with Catskill Mountain Foundation to present. That happened largely, in fact, that I had been over the last year and a half, I'd been active on the mountaintop of coming. I had been away for a number of years, and I had become active playing at Last Chance Tavern across the street, where they opened a new tavern. Last Chance Cheese Shop opened a new tavern, and I had them get music started there. And I was doing a lot of solo shows there and bringing in some other artists, including Louis and Bill Sims Jr., bluesman from New York, and different folks.
And what are some of the things coming up?
One of our biggest ones, you know, besides the concert next week, is the Catskill Jazz Factory, which is a master jazz residency that is going to be 1 week in June, which is going to have both a concert at the finale and also master classes open to the public and educational outreach to local schools, with demonstrations and workshops and classes. And it's going to be a select number, a small group of students selected from New York. Our artistic director is Aaron Beal, who's recipient of the Cole Porter Jazz Award. He's an amazing pianist. Went to Juilliard and shortly after was selected by Wynton Marsalis to play in his septet. And he's gathering a group of incredible faculty, all of his peers, to run a master workshop that week. And we're going to have as a special guest Joe Lovano, world-renowned sax player, who's also has a house. I believe he lives close to Woodstock, but we managed to get him out of his busy schedule. He's going to give a day of workshops there, too, as master guest artist. So there will be performances, and also the students will probably be involved in playing in local venues during the evenings with jam sessions as well. And this project is also broader in spectrum in the sense that the plans are that throughout the year there are going to be several outreach programs to schools in the area and beyond. So
that's really exciting.
That's one of the most exciting things that we have coming up. And in terms of specific concerts, the other thing that we had discussed with Louis, and it's not quite official yet, but we're going to get Blues Hall of Fame, the New York chapter of the Blues Hall of Fame. They periodically have events or they're presenting awards where we can have various artists, blues artists, perform and keep their awards at the theater too.
Gosh, well, that's all very exciting. That's terrific. Just to get back to the concert, so you yourself are playing in it.
I am, yes. I'm going to do a couple of tunes towards the beginning with a wonderful singer that I, soul singer that I work with in New York. I run a monthly jam session called the Applejack Acoustic Jam at a small theater called The Triad on the Upper West Side, and we invite special featured artists to each of our shows and have various artists sit in, and Louis has been one of our guests there as well. And Tawira Smith recently arrived from New Zealand. She's East African, New Zealand, Australian mix. And we're going to do a couple of tunes at the beginning and sit in with Louis for a few tunes as well. So that will be exciting.
Yeah, that's terrific. What else would you like listeners to know about the concert?
Well, it's going to be a really unique and fabulous evening in the sense that we have Professor Louis and the Chromatics, but with his Rock of Ages horns. It's a rare opportunity to get to see him with the full-blown horn section. And we have the Green Room Show Choir, which is a local choir based in Tannersville, run by Linda Nichols, and may have as many as 30 members of that choir coming to sing in the finale tunes with Louis, namely on one tune that was an award-winning tune, Melody's Piece, that he recorded on CBS Live a couple of years ago with the Empire State Orchestra and Choir, and he's chosen a couple of other tunes to work with them. So it's a really neat, you know, interaction, having a, you know, world-renowned artist like Louis and also interacting with our local choir. And we also have a unique appearance by Michael J. Ronstadt and his group, the Ronstadt Generations, which is Michael J. Ronstadt is Linda Ronstadt's younger brother, who recorded on most of her albums in the 70s and part of a community of musicians, which we all know is, you know, includes the, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and, mm-hmm. And all those folks. And the Young, his two sons in the band, it's a folk trio. They've played with numerous outfits in terms of, you know, being sidemen for everything from Los Lobos to the Dixie Hummingbirds. They do original music and also music that's traditional folk music rooted in the Southwest. They're based in Tucson, so they kind of have a little bit of a mix of Mexican influences and Southwest folk. They do traditional stuff and also original stuff. They sing harmonies. There's two guitars and cello. It's a really, really neat sound. And they happen to be doing some touring out here during the next couple of months, so that's how we snagged them. And they will open for Louis and probably sit in with him as well. It'll be a really neat mix of musicians.
Yeah, it just sounds absolutely fantastic. And, of course, all net proceeds go to Hurricane Irene disaster relief.
Correct.
At this point, what is there left to be done? I mean, what do people need right now, the victims of Hurricane Irene?
I think it's a ever-changing and evolving process that I think is going to be ongoing for a while. And I think the Prattsville Relief Fund and the Sharp Committee based in Phoenicia, Shandaken, that serving that area, have been really effective in raising money and distributing that money to where the immediate needs are at any given time. There's still, many people without homes, and the money both goes into helping those folks have shelter and also rebuilding what has come down. A lot of the first efforts really had been to just clean up everything that had been destroyed, and now we're back on a rebuilding effort, and it's going to take a while. I think one of our, both the friends of the Orpheum, Catskill Mountain Foundation, myself, we had conversations about this, that the Orpheum's new, and it's a small space, but it only seats 250 people. So we can make a small dent in terms of making contributions, but I think it can be a continual space over time that we could have events that could be, beneficial for raising money. The goals for the Orpheum and the area, it being really a gem of a performing arts center that's really unparalleled in the surrounding area, they can really be sort of a center of both entertainment and outreach for the community, both with the programs that we have that bring people out and hear great music, but also provide programs that help educationally and programs that help to as fundraisers as well.
Well, definitely a worthwhile cause there coming up this weekend. Now, where can people get tickets or donate, or what's the website?
Yeah, they can get their tickets at the Catskill Mountain Foundation website, which is catskillmtn.org.
Mm-hmm. But even if they don't go, they can still donate, though, right?
Exactly. I think, we hope that this would be a good excuse to remember the needs of the community and to make a donation, even if you can't come, or even if you can come to the concert. We're encouraging people to make additional donations as well, as we've made the concert very affordable, because we want everybody to be able to come. We're also offering VIP tickets for $50, which allow people to come backstage and have a glass of champagne with Louis and the Chromatics and Michael Ronstadt, meet the artists and get a signed CD.
Wow.
Which is also a nice, really nice option. Not only great artists, but great people to meet, really.
That sounds like a great fun deal. Well, Greg, is there anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you?
I don't think so. I just think that, I'd like to encourage everybody to come out in the area and see and experience the space with an incredible night of music. It's a really, anybody who came to the initial concerts, we had the New Riders of Purple Sage and Louis, and we had Donna God show from the with the Grateful Dead throughout the 70s and her band on the 27th of January, and everybody who came and everybody who has experienced the space, both the radio folk and the general public, have all would vouch for the fact that it's a really unique venue. It's a wonderful place to see a concert where you feel like you're sitting practically on the stage and with the artist, and it's got a wonderful energy. So we encourage everybody to come out. We don't have a lot of things programmed now in terms of concerts between now and the summer, so this is a great time to get out. And Monday's a holiday for a lot of folks, But we're starting early also at 7. Love to have everyone come down. And it's going to be a little bit of a after, it'll be a little after party at Last Chance Tavern where some of the musicians will be around. I'm going to be running a show there that will go till late into the evening, and there'll be music and festivities there with a lot of surprises.
Well, Greg Dayton, thanks so much for being on Between the Lines. And good
luck.
Thank you so much. Good luck with the concert. We are going to take a little break now, and we're going to listen to some music from Professor Louis and the Chromatics, and we will be right back with Professor Louis, so don't go anywhere. Professor Louis of the Chromatics, who is a long-time Woodstock dweller, who runs his own studio, and he's a Grammy Award-winning musician who's been inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame. And he, of course, is also appearing on Sunday, February 19th at the Orpheum. Okay, now, you were instrumental in putting this concert together. How much work was involved, and what did you personally get out of it?
Well, in helping putting the show together, because Greg Dayton, of course, was the most important pivotal person here, he just asked me who would be a few different interesting guests, and musically, how can we do something to give people a little bit of a different taste of things, and I happen to have good friends, the Ronstadt Generation, that are good buddies of mine that come from Arizona and Phoenix and the Southwest out there, and they happen to be on tour coming here east, and I thought they would be great to have on the bill with us. That's Linda Ronstadt's brother, and the thing about that makes it really Mike Ronstadt and his two sons. The thing that's nice is they're really experts at that Southwest American music. Plus, they do some of their own interpretations of songs. And so, luckily, they were available. We got them, and then with Professor Louie and the Chromatics, we do and we travel the world quite a bit, and we play a lot of times with symphonies and large choirs our own music. And Greg said, well, we have a choir up there around the Tannersville area, so we're going to add the choir to some of our pieces of music. And last year we did a nice show raising money for the Syracuse Jazz Orchestra, and we got a horn section coming in from Syracuse. They wanted to help out, and so we got a show that's going to be very different and a one-of-a-kind show. So that was my participation, was just putting that type of music and things together so people up in the area and the theater get a different show, because we were there in December with our friends, the New Riders of the Purple Sage, Professor Louie and the Chromatics, Double Bill, and sold it out. And I thought it would be good to go there with, a different type of show so people get a variation and include some of the local musicians and singers from that same area.
You yourself were impacted by Hurricane Irene, right?
Yeah, we had a good flood here at the house and took us out pretty much. And the one thing that I'm hoping happens is that people that are up there that were affected, because, sometimes when you're living on the edge and some kind of catastrophe happens like that, it can really be completely devastation. And when you're dealing with banks or insurance companies or government things, there's not much compassion or understanding. And it would be nice if some of the people that were impacted by this flood came and could enjoy the show and not have to lay out a lot of money for a ticket. And what I'm really hoping, too, is the people that are contributing, who understand how devastating things could get when you're living a little bit on the edge, that, they open their doors and the money goes to the right places, because we were impacted pretty heavy and they have these large benefits by us. And nobody's ever contacted me at all about it. Not that I was looking for anything, but I'm just watching how all these systems work.
Tell us a bit about your band, the Chromatics. When did you form and how did you come about?
Okay, well, first of all, Ann, we are inducted into the Southern Canadian Blues Society, and we're also in the American Blues Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two Hall of Fames.
Mm-hmm.
The way the band originally started, I got a job in 1985 with the Hall of Fame group called The Band, which everybody in this area, of course, knows. Levon Helm, Rick Danko, Mark Hudson, and, they were reforming at that time, and I was fortunate enough to be at the right place at the right time. And they hired me to help engineer and produce music for them and be a little bit on the road and play individual shows. And what was happening is we were coming up with songs, and I needed to put a super group together to demo songs up for them, meaning to demonstrate some songs that I would get that I think would be qualifiers for the band putting a record out, especially at that time they hadn't put a CD out since The Last Waltz or a record out. And so I assembled the best band I could find up in the Woodstock area and kept that band going, recording in the studio all those years, demoing up and participating in a lot of band shows. And when the band disbanded, mm-hmm. In 2000, we decided we would continue the tradition and keep the group going, and change the name to Professor Louie and the Chromatics. And I got the name Professor Louie from a good friend of mine, Rick Danko, who is the bass player from the band. And me and him played a lot of duo shows, and he gave me that moniker on stage. And so we kept it after he passed away. He passed away in 2000, or 1999, actually. And we kept it going, and Professor Louie and the Chromatics at that time became the backup band for a Levon Helm record, for a Rick Danko record, for a Garth Hudson record, played on a bunch of the band records, and, moving along ever since.
You were just nominated in 2010 for your CD Whispering Pines, is that right?
Yeah, that was a really nice thing that happened. Put the CD out, and the company that we have, Woodstock Records, and the distribution company there, they put it into the Grammy pot, which, we're not too much into the awards, but of course it's nice when it happens. And lo and behold, they nominated us in the first round there for five different categories, for best song, best CD, best performance. It was nice. It was a nice honor. There were five Grammy nominations for that CD, Whispering Pines. And that was the last CD. Since then, we've put out a DVD, but we're getting ready to put out a new new CD probably the next couple months. So that was really a nice honor to have that happen, and for people in our own business to recognize that the group is tremendously talented. We have Gary Burke on drums, who has a long line. You know, I could start listing names of credits, but it's better to have the Chromatics of the credit at this stage of the game. But Frank Campbell on bass, Josh Carroll on guitar and singing, and Miss Marie, who does a lot of writing and plays the piano and percussion and sings a lot. So that's going to be rounded out by the choir and the horn section for this show.
And you do a mix of both original songs and covers?
Absolutely. We play a lot of songs that we've written that have done pretty well for us. You know, they're on TV or radio. And then one of the things about a great band to me is to be able to do other people's music and do it well. So we're always looking for, you know, a couple cover songs here and there that we think will fit what we've done. And since I come a lot from that band world, that's a really large repertoire. Some of it I'm responsible for and some of it I'm not. So we try to mix that up a little bit with some of the real old songs that I had nothing to do with, and then some of the songs I helped contribute to the repertoire. And, you know, the one song that I know we'll play is Melody of Peace, which has been, I don't know if you're aware, but up at the Proctor's Theater at Christmas time, they have the Melodies of Christmas. And it airs on television, and it runs for 6 nights, and probably about 18,000 people in person see it, besides a couple million. They have chosen us twice to be the theme and guest of theirs and play Melody of Peace with the Empire State Orchestra and choir. And so we will definitely do that song at the show.
Right, and it seems like a good time to take a break and play that very song.
And do you want me to describe a little bit of that version?
Why, yes, why don't you?
Well, this version that you're going to hear, we were asked to submit this after somebody saw it from ERM Naxos record label, which is one of the biggest classical labels in the world, saw it on YouTube. With us playing with the Empire State Orchestra, and asked to submit the score to them, and they came back and called us and asked us if we would go to Prague to record it with the Prague Symphony and Choir. And the version you're going to hear is the version we made there in the Czech Republic in Prague, which is on the Whispering Pines record.
Open up our hearts, hear the man.
And we are back talking to Professor Louis of the band The Chromatics, who will be playing this coming weekend at the Orpheum Theatre in Hunter. You are one busy performer. I was looking at your schedule, and you're sort of all over the place.
Well, we do a lot of traveling, and I've been traveling my whole life, playing shows with all different kinds of groups. And we have, you know, the nice thing about performers traveling is you make friends in all these different pockets of the world. And you go back maybe once a year, once every 2 years. So it's great to always travel and see friends. And the group has been California. We go up into Alberta and then to Europe and even into Russia to play. So that has been great. And we're trying to stay as busy as possible because, first of all, it helps helps to keep making some money, which is, of course, really essential to keep the music rolling. And it's and playing live makes it real. You know, you can especially these days, anybody can make a CD or record on it, but when you're out there playing, it makes it much more real and getting in contact with the audience. And the audience is just as important as any musician on stage. So you have to keep that relationship going.
And did I read somewhere that you actually made a documentary about your travels in Russia?
Well, thank you for doing that research. There is a documentary that I've been to in parts of Russia have been a lot, but the one place I've concentrated mostly on is Novosibirsk, Siberia. And the musicianship there is great, and the people are very nice. And the last couple trips, they followed me around, a Siberian film crew, LBL, which is a very good film crew, followed me around to record and document my travels, because what it started turning out to be is we started working with kids to learn how to sing or talk, speak in English, through singing. And so they started making a documentary of that, and there is a documentary of that and of my travels called the Woodstock Siberia Blues Express. And it's been in, you know, major film festivals, and I think March we're going to present the documentary at the Linda for, you know, the public radio up there. Uh-huh. So well, every once in a while, the documentary will show up at a film festival or at a live show. And of course, we could keep adding to it. But at the moment, it's a good half hour long.
Okay. Your studio in Woodstock, do you rent it out to other musicians?
Well, you know, it's sort of a Chromatics clubhouse, but, you know, we do record people there quite a bit. It's not advertised and promoted because a lot is for productions that we do, but we've recorded Graham Parker's maybe last three or four CDs there, and Commander Cody's CD there, and Buckwheat Zydeco's CD. So the studio stays pretty active. It sounds great, and it's a Chromatics clubhouse that once in a while people want to come in and do a little bit of recording. So it's available.
So if any musicians out there are looking for a studio, they know where to go.
They're more than welcome to call us or talk to us about it, and then we can discuss, you know, if they feel it makes sense for them to do. We've never really pushed the studio too much because, fortunately for me, I've produced enough people over the years, have played on enough records, and all the guys in the Chromatics play on a lot of records, like, you know, Gary Burke was with Bob Dylan for many years and all the great Joe Jackson records. So everybody has the little side projects they do that they produce people who play on their records. And a good friend of ours, John Patania from Van Morrison fame, you know, he's there for about 30 years. He uses the studio a lot. So things like that are always going on. Right. So the studio's busy. Any musicians want to use it, they can always call and, you know, see if there's something they'd be interested in recording in there.
Professor Louis, I'd like to thank you for coming on Between the Lines. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or haven't mentioned that you'd like to add?
Well, we would just really like people to come out Sunday night and support the theater because it is an extremely nice theater. And, you know, after the theater, we're going to go over to the Last Chance Saloon. We've got to help them out and do a little jam session afterwards, which should be a nice thing. So all the musicians that are around, they may come over and we can hang out a little bit loose and, you know, you could talk and do a little eating and drinking together, which will be nice. And the show is Sunday night, I think, right? It starts around 7?
Right. I believe that's correct, yes.
So I'm hoping people come early. And, Anne, I'm hoping you come.
I am coming. I'm definitely going to come.
That would be great. Well, we probably need the MC.
Okay. Well, thanks so much once again. Okay.
Well, thanks so much for playing us, Anne, and thanks so much for doing the interview. We really, really appreciate it.
let your voice come down and carry me through the silent trouble. I cannot see the angels by my side sing to me, sing, sing to me. Voices resound and love comes back around. Sing.
That was Amy Helm. Yes, that Amy Helm, daughter of Levon. She was singing Sing to Me, appropriately enough. And the track is a track on a new compilation CD to benefit Hurricane Irene victims. And my next guest is going to tell us all about it.
Michanne Taylor was a Japanese-American artist who was similarly inspired to create a virtual CD for the Hudson Valley Artists Hurricane Relief Project, in which 23 artists pooled their talents. Can I ask you, how did all this come about, and why don't you describe your project for us?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, it is a compilation, you know, a collaboration of 23 Hudson Valley resident artists, and I think after the hurricane and the storms of last year, everybody in the community felt sort of personally affected, and even though myself and a number of people that are on the project weren't necessarily personally affected, their properties weren't damaged, but we all know people that suffered some sort of damage, and certainly we all saw the videos and heard the stories of some of the towns further north, and, you know, Arkville, Prattsville, a lot of towns in Schoharie County that were just literally flooded out. And it just felt so personal, I guess, because it was so close to home. Actually, you know, this all happened on the heels of me finishing a nonprofit project, another compilation CD project that I did for the Japan Earthquake and Tsunami Relief Fund. And it's a compilation, it's a hard copy compilation of all Japanese American artists that live in the United States, and we all felt very personally connected to that incident over in Japan. You know, I have family in Tokyo. You know, oddly enough, this whole local event happened on the heels of finishing that project. So I felt inspired. I felt moved to want to do something locally, you know, for my friends and neighbors, as well as everyone that's part of the project. So that's sort of how that happened.
And tell us some of the musicians who are on the CD.
Well, there's the wonderful Amy Helm, who is Levon Helm's daughter, who's just a fabulous singer. Modesky Martin and Wood, Marco Benevento, Mark Black, Bruce Kapp, T.J. Atwood. These are all people that live in this wonderful area. And, you know, I could go on, but if everyone goes to the website, they can see the list of artists and find out information about everyone, as well as hear little clips of all the music.
Okay, and the website is?
It is www.hvahurricanereliefproject.com. And it's a little long, I know, but we wanted to make sure that that everybody knew what it was. So it's the Hudson Valley Artists Hurricane Relief Project.
Okay, and it's just gone live, right? This has just
happened. Yes. It took a while. You know, any time you're dealing with intellectual property rights, which we are certainly respectfully wanted to put this together in the right way. So contracts needed to be done for each individual artist, and this is all being done as a 501c3 nonprofit through my friend Verna Gillis, who owns the 501c3 called Soundscape Presents. So that's the umbrella company, as it were. And so by, you know, her granting us the ability to put this together through her company, it is a legitimate 501c3.
And did any of the artists write original songs? Did they do cover songs? Or what sort of music do they contribute?
Well, it's all original. It's all original material. And, you know, these are pre-existing songs, obviously, that they had available, that they own the masters and the rights to. The only song that is kind of new is a song that Amy donated. Amy Helm is getting ready to do her own solo project. So we're kind of getting a little, you know, sneak preview with her track to her upcoming solo record. So she was very kind to allow us to have a song that has never been released. So, but everyone else, you know, donated songs that they did have in their catalog. You know, if everyone had done specific songs for this project, it would have taken a year to put together.
Yeah, but all this came together relatively quickly. I mean, when did you conceive of the idea?
Well, not too long after, you know, the storm. So actually, in September, a bunch of us got together at the Bearsville Theater, and we actually did a concert event that was sponsored by WDST, and we raised $11,000 for Family of Woodstock. So that happened pretty quickly after the storms. So right after that, you know, I said, well, gee, you know, we should really try to keep this going and put a CD project together. So that, you know, it took about 3 months to do all the paperwork and get the website up and all the details, which there are a lot.
And obviously you yourself are on the CD as well. What are you singing?
Well, there's a song. Actually, the song has never been released. It's called Going Home, and I thought it was, you know, appropriate for this project. And, you know, I am a singer-songwriter, but, you know, that wasn't the reason why I put this project together, to get myself on it. But, you know, it certainly made it easier by contributing a song to get this collection together. And certainly there were a lot more artists that I would have loved to have had a part of this, but the criteria was that I needed to have everyone own their mechanical rights publishing, you know, the master rights to the songs, because to get involved with having to deal with publishing companies and record companies would have made it so much more complicated.
Yeah.
So we tried to keep it simple.
Right. And the proceeds will go to...
Yes, the proceeds are... We're sorting this out right now, actually. I'm speaking to a couple people at Governor Cuomo's office and, you know, the state offices in Albany. You know, the federal funds have been given out, so that has come and gone. But I am sorting out right now with a really lovely man named Bill Pete, and he's given me a list of organizations that are still taking financial donations, and I'm trying to sort out the areas that really need the most funding. So I'm going to actually put that up on the website this week, and, you know, it's working as a one-woman band, so to say. not so easy in that these things are very time-consuming, you know.
Yes, because
but I am sorting that out.
Because you have a very busy working life as well. For perhaps some of our listeners who are not familiar with you, why don't you tell us exactly what you do and where they can hear your music?
Well, yeah, I haven't been very active as a solo artist vocally very much recently, but I do teach voice in the area, and for many years I worked as a background singer, as a working session singer and a touring background singer. I worked with Sting and Pink Floyd, Pat Benatar, George Benson, you know, so, et cetera, et cetera, and did a lot of TV commercials and that sort of thing out of New York City and Los Angeles. And that's what I did for many years. And my husband and I moved up to Ulster County about 7 years ago. And he's in a touring band that a lot of people know in the area called Government Mule.
Uh-huh.
So he travels a lot. So we, you know, after 9/11, a lot of things changed in New York City. So we got out of Dodge, so to say, and came up here. So a lot of my work now is teaching and also writing music. I have a studio in my house, writing music for television and radio and film. I do a lot of music licensing and things like that. So I've had a little bit of a career shift, which certainly happens, you know, in life, and which is another reason why I sort of have the space and the desire to want to take on doing this project and my Japan at Least project, you know, sort of feeling like at this point wanting to give back to community and to the world and doing something beyond just for myself,
Well, it's a very worthwhile cause, and once again, the website where people can download this CD, where all the proceeds will go to Hurricane Irene relief, is... Can you give it to us again, Michelle?
Yes, it's www.hvahurricanereliefproject.com.
Okay, great. And is there anything you'd like to add that I haven't asked you?
Well, just that, you know, because news of the devastation, the damage, the recovery, the rebuilding is not front page news, doesn't mean that there isn't the need. And I think the important thing to let people know is that this is an ongoing issue, and there's still so many people trying to recover from the damages of the storms, and to try to keep that in mind.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on Between the Lines, Michanne Taylor.
Thank you so much, Anne. Take care.
And we're now going to listen to a track off that CD.
We love. Who else could care enough? do we need things we want? It's our heads against our hearts. What's the difference between what we want and what we need? What we need. The radio plays my favorite. I start to sing.
You were listening to Not a Love Song by The Compact. And that's my show for today. Thanks to my guests, Greg Dayton, Professor Louis, and Michanne Taylor. And thanks for listening. My next show is Thursday, March 15th. In the meantime, here's another track off the Hudson Valley CD.
Giants come and giants go, and they leave their mark on the foot-filled snow. I follow losing faith as I go. I can't fill the holes where my feet should. Going nowhere, leaving nothing, doing nothing wrong. But I'm not giving all there is to give. Still I do the big things I believe. If I keep climbing, keep climbing.